Yeah. What about Dirt? Dirt wears the same thing every year with his freaking dirty, disgusting feet. What are you wearing, man, Camp Dirt?
Chacos every year. Chacos sponsor me. Give me some new Chacos.
Are they stupid? Seriously?
No. I'm just asking them to. Come on, Chacos.
Dirt, if you get the first legitimate sponsor of
Chacos,
I'm going to be really, really upset. Unless the sponsor is like Dove soap or something like that. That makes sense. But
I could use some Dove soap.
If you get the first legitimate sponsorship, that'd be really bothersome to me. Welcome to Aggressive Life. We are weeks away from Man Camp 2025. It's shaping up to be our largest man camp we've ever had. That's due in part to some really great people that are not me. Bear Grylls, Dante Bow, some other things. It's just good buzz. But Man Camp has been a growing thing for a while. And this is called The Aggressive Life. It's not called the Man Camp Podcast, but it's one of the more aggressive moves that I've ever made in my life, choosing to just take men out in the woods, poop in the woods, push on people spiritually, do something that's totally outside the box that I'd never heard of before. It was 500 people, the very first one, in frigid conditions in Indiana, and then we went to Kentucky, and now we're in Ohio, and it's sort of grown a bit every year. And this year is going to be really good, but maybe one of my favorite years was when we were so close to having every single state in the United States represented, and we put out a call saying, wow, we're almost there. Hey, if anybody wants to come from these states, we're going to give you a comp ticket. And what do you know? One of those states was New Hampshire. And one guy said, really? They contacted us. Really? Really? I'm going to get a free pass. Like, yeah, you can. He drove all the way with a buddy. Can I bring my buddy? Yeah, but we're not paying for that loser. So yes, you can bring. So they drove all the way from New Hampshire to this thing they had really never heard of before, never been around. Apparently they liked it a lot, and they've been coming and bringing dudes every year from the New England area. This most recent man camp, Hurricamp. 22 dudes they brought down. I want to hear them, hear their story, hear what's happening in their life. Their names are Rory Lawrence and Matt Fortin. Welcome to The Aggressive Life.
What's up, Brian? Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate you guys.
Yeah, man, super excited to be here. Love this.
Well, it's excited to have you here. Now, did you guys have your own podcast thing going on before you ever came to a man camp?
Nope. It was birthed out of the first man camp that we went to.
So go back, yep. Dude. Go back. Yes. Tell us your version. Like, you show up. Why did you decide to come? You show up, and what was different than you expected, better, or worse than you expected?
Just you want to go first, Matt, or you want me to go first?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I wouldn't. I was basically forced to come. So Rory said, I'm going to do this. You know, I got to get out and camp, and I want to do this back in New Hampshire, right? So this was kind of Rory's vision of doing something like man camp in New Hampshire. And he was like, well, I got no one to come with me. So you're basically coming with me. So he dragged me out by my ear. And, you know, we flew down, but we had talked before about doing a podcast and stuff and all that. And, you know, it wasn't until after man camp that we had really had seen the vision for it and everything. So,
you know what it was, Brian? I seen a video on YouTube, and it was the most epic thing I'd ever seen. I never knew about man camp, had no idea, nothing. I see this video of this big dude jumping a mini bike off of a ramp into a pond, and there's bubbles everywhere, and like people are jumping, and I'm like, what is this? And so I click on the video, I watch the whole thing, and it was a promo that y'all had done for camp. And so I'd seen that, and I was like, this is crazy. I've always looked and wanted something like this, and I seen that clip, and I was like, okay. So I literally, and then like a day later, I think is when they posted something about like man camp was closed again. Mind you, this is the third time I tried to make it and I didn't make it for lack of preparation. Yeah. But we I saw the message about the states, and one of them was New Hampshire, and I'm like, I should say something. I probably should say something. I really want to get in. So I said something. We grabbed they gave us a ticket. I bought a ticket for Matt. We our first year we flew down because I didn't know what we were getting into, and I was like, I don't want to drive that far. Yeah, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
But that's a long-ass drive. How long of a drive is that?
I think it's almost 14 yeah. or 15 hours.
Oof, brutal.
So first year was wild. We had high expectations, and y'all exceeded it, exceeded those expectations.
And as far just, as what? As far as the program, as far as the vibe, the feel, what was it?
Okay. So expectations, you know, just New Hampshire, we grew up, we're always out in the wild. We're always, there's woods everywhere up here. So we're always playing in the woods. So adventure's always been something that's been a big part of our lives. It's always been something that's a big part of my life. And seeing that and seeing the guys all out in like a war camp setting, you guys are just spreading them all out in there in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. And so I was like, man, that looks incredible. And then getting there, seeing it, that exceeded the expectations on like just the fun outdoor adventure stuff, right?
Yeah.
But then I think there were some other expectations of like, because I don't know about you, but you go to like conferences and stuff like that, and you get a lot of hype, and then you just kind of go home.
Yeah.
And there's nothing substantial, right, Matt? There's nothing really substantial that you take home. We still talk on a regular basis to our trip captain that we had the first year.
Oh, that's cool. Who was it? Do you remember? You
know, yeah,
you
know, I remember. His name's Matthew Hyatt. Shout out, Matt Hyatt. You're awesome. We love you, dude. He's from Connecticut. He's an incredible dude. He's bringing his own crew again this year.
That's great. That's really great. So the cohesiveness, the fraternity, the stickiness of what you experienced was beyond expectation.
Absolutely. And the from the adventure to the campfire sessions to just your time building brotherhood, because our lives are so crazy that we don't build friendships anymore as men. I don't know. It's wild. Right. And so just that focus time, and then the MASH tent, we'll get into that later. That's wild. But man, just every level of an adventure that you could cover with adventure, with masculinity, with testosterone and meat tubes and like everything. Just absolutely incredible. The experience that you guys do is unlike anything. It's unlike any other thing that I've ever participated in.
Yeah, I went to speak at a men's conference recently, and it was really good. Really thankful to be able to do it. And I am pro anything that's for men in any setting. If a church wants to do it, if a church wants to do it in a traditional sanctuary, if a church wants to do it at a college, if the YMCA wants to do something, wherever, I anything for men anywhere, I'm a big fan of. And it was really, really, really solid conference, solid experience. And I also thought, as good as it was, there's only so much you can do under a roof in rows.
Right. Mm.
Right. And people from out of town who are staying in hotels and going back or going to restaurants. There's only so much you can do there, but it really elevates the experience, the multi-sensory all in nature when you go, no, we're on a property for like two nights and like, no, you ain't going anywhere. No, it's here. And whatever number Mother Nature throws us, no HVAC, no nothing, you know.
No comfort pooping in the woods.
Oh, I like that's comfort pooping for me.
I love that.
Oh, I absolutely love it. It's phenomenal. When I take a dump inside, it's a probably 15-minute ordeal just because I can, and it's enjoyable, and no one can bother me. It's probably a 15-minute deal, but there's something about being outside when it just comes out of you in 40 seconds and you're done. That's a beautiful
thing. Taking a rugged one.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, our larynx. Well, our larynx connects to our intestines eventually, but you know the when you're squatting down there, you're in the right posture for it to come out immediately instead of being kicked up on a on a thing. It's
full
wonderful.
Body flush.
Yeah, it's the way God designed our bodies to work, which is why I've had at least two people give me those things that actually go around your toilet. Anyone give you those things? They're like a horseshoe plastic thing that's about a foot high. You're supposed to put around, therefore you can put your feet on it and it replicates the position.
The squatty potty.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
How do we get on that?
I don't know.
Just the limitations of what a conference can be. With the greatest speakers, the greatest program, the greatest arts, awesome, go. But there's just limitations versus a 24/7 in it and on it thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So for you guys, where were you faith-wise before you came to your first man camp?
Yeah, so I had met Rory probably a year before that. I had been away for a little bit, always grew up in New Hampshire, and went away for a bit to New Jersey for another job, and came back and just didn't really have a home for a church. I'd grown up in the church for a long time, you know, up through high school, and then kind of, you know, fell away from God a little bit, high school, college years. And then, you know, met Rory through my sister, and just introduced me to him. And then, you know, a year later, we're already doing stuff together, you know, building podcasts and going to man camp and all that. So it's pretty cool to see how fast God can work in your life.
Yeah.
My day job is similar to yours. Planted a church about 7 years ago up here in New Hampshire. All right. My wife and I, and been in ministry for about 15 years. Never thought I would ever end up in ministry. I probably would have laughed if somebody told me, like, hey, you're going to be a pastor one day. I'd be like, dude, you're higher than I am right now. That doesn't make no sense. But so my wife and I planted a church up here. We've been up here for the last 7 years, and that's where kind of Matt and I met. But there's always stuff, you know what I mean? Like, there's always struggles. There's always different things that you're facing that... you know, I know for us men, we're always looking around to see if there's somebody we can, you know, connect with to be able to grow and sharpen one another. And it's such a thing that's lacking in so many areas and up here in the Northeast where people they like to be left alone. They really do. Culturally, they like to be left alone. And, you know, there's a huge need, I think, for brotherhood. There's a huge need for men to, you know, step up and interact with each other and actually build relationships. And that was a huge thing coming out of man camp that I noticed every single year. It's like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like rocket-fueled testosterone that keeps the relationships that you bond with at camp, and it just keeps them going. I mean, we're not hanging out with these guys every single day, but we're still talking.
Yeah.
Guys are still asking for prayers. Yeah. Guys are still praying for each other. Like, I think that's one of the most powerful things that comes outside of, you know, the spiritual side of man camp is those relationships that are built, that brotherhood that gets really established. And so,
yeah. And I know Rory and I kind of use this as our, you know, most people use January 1st as their ground to, you know, I'm going to be better. Start of the new year. You know, Rory and I kind
of man camp's the start
camp.
Of our year.
Oh, fascinating.
Where are we going?
Interesting.
October to October.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I like that. That's an interesting rhythm.
Yeah.
Boy, that makes me wonder. Ooh, I might have just had an idea for a new session, new talk this year. Because I do a thing with my family.
Yeah.
Every Christmas Eve, the story when Jesus says to blind Bartimaeus, he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Mm. And we do with the family, go around, like, what do you want Jesus to do for you this year? If you would do something, what is it? Not necessarily your goals,
right?
So that's fine too, but like, what do you want him to do for you? And it's interesting that Jesus asks him that when he's blind, as in, well, duh, return his sight to him, but maybe that wasn't his biggest need that he had. Maybe there was something, and maybe Jesus just wanted him to say it. But it makes me wonder if that might be a little teaching at man camp, is to say, hey, this year, talk around your around the campfire, what does he want Jesus to do for you? And then every year what we do in our family, when we come back together on Christmas Eve, we open up the file, which we haven't looked at for 365 days, and we review what it is we said we wanted Jesus to do for us, and we see what the hit rate. And the hit rate's about 50% of things that happen. It's pretty cool.
You know those the booklets you guys hand out, the little guides?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Matt has them all still, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So I keep those, and every year when the next year's coming around in October, I go back through the previous year's guide, go through it. Same exact thing you're talking about, Brian. And going through it, seeing where God had the victories, you know, where the challenges were, see if those challenges are still here, you know, at this at that current time, a year later. And then it's a great way to really track coming out of an experience like Man Camp, to track your progress, where you're going, and where we just made a commitment after year one, like, this is the way. Like, literally, just this is Man Camp is the way. Now, what do we do? How do we get more guys here? Because they need to know about this. They need to understand and experience this. And so we just made that a pact. And then every year from the first year out, we haven't missed one. Hurricamp was honestly my favorite.
Which is last year. Why was that your favorite?
It was different.
Yeah, forced a lot of guys out of their comfort zone. I think a lot of guys kind of wanted to roll in there. And then they had known, I think it was all around. I think guys just, needed to elevate their game a little bit and step up, and, the wind, the rain, the storms. I mean, we can get into some of the stories when we were driving up, but, we had guys in, North Carolina that were, I forget where the main town was in North Carolina, but
Helene.
one of our guys North Carolina. It started with an A.
Asheville?
Yes, Asheville. There you go.
Yeah.
Was in that town when we were calling and texting, and he had to turn around because it was so bad. But guys wanted it that bad.
We had guys driving and texting us updates because they were from other states and they were just going to meet us there. And so they're texting us updates like, this road's closed. That I'm going to try another one. This road's closed. That road's closed. And then eventually it was just like, everything is shut down. I can't get there. Like, we had one guy, Paul, he was trying to get there, and he was actually trying to go pick up another guy, Terry, and pick him up and bring him to Man Camp. And those guys actually got blocked out because of all the storm stuff, which was just, it was just wild. It was wild. But I think the reason I think that stands out as my favorite is it had the limitations of, you know, weather. You can't control it. And so that created limitations where we had to adjust, you know, you're not just having all this free time. I feel like everything became extremely more intentional. Guys were seeking the MASH tent a lot more intentional. I know the guys in our group were. And these are guys that some of them, this is their first experience of faith. Yes. And they were like just radically transformed through it. And guys that you would never expect. Literally, never, ever expect. And they got there, and it was just because of the weather and limitations around that, it focused their hearts, I think, intently. That's why it was my favorite.
Yeah, I love that. Now, when you say that people in New England are more isolated, are they're more isolated because that's the way they're planning it, or it's just the way that the culture works? They want to be alone, is what you said. They want to be alone. So they don't want to be alone, but they're alone, or they really want to be alone, so they structure their life according to that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So 43 years young, and I did about 10, 11 years down south, 10 years in Texas, and then but born and raised in New Hampshire, came back up here. And I think the differences I noticed coming back up here were just, I think generally they kind of want to be left alone. Like, they don't want to be disturbed. They don't want to be alone. I don't think that's a thing, but they want to be left alone. It's kind of a cultural thing around here. It's weird.
So does that make any differences in that culture with the suicide rate, the depression rate relative to other places, or is it still the same?
Yep. Suicide rate, depression rate, and the alcohol rate. So we have what's called seasonal depression up here. It's our winter months when it's absolutely freezing. You go outside and your face hurts, and then you wonder, you know, why you even live in a place like this. And then they have liquor stores that are bigger than like the biggest Bass Pro ever. And we have them on both sides of the highway on every exit. It's insane. There's like, wow. People are like, what's going on in New Hampshire? We got fireworks. We got liquor everywhere. Like, and then winter happens and everybody just goes into like hibernation mode.
Sure.
Okay. So guys are alone, lonely. They want their space, but they don't embrace and want all the negative effects that come with it. So a man camp like experience kind of meets a stated need for that a lot of dudes have.
It hits a huge one.
Yeah, for sure.
So you said that's the ticket for you, but you also said that you did it as a test run to do your own version of man camp in New Hampshire. So what's the aggressive move for you right now? Are you still going to do your own man camp version in New Hampshire? Are you still building that? Or is it just to get people to drive 14 hours to, you know, the OG man camp?
We're going to keep trucking. I want to bring a bus to man camp. I want to fill a freaking giant bus and roll down 50 dudes deep or more. That's and show up just in numbers. Because sometimes I feel like we look at stuff and we're like, oh, we can replicate that. Maybe, but not always.
Yeah. There has not been a shortage of people who've wanted to do their own man camp thing. There have been so, so many. And it just doesn't tend to happen for whatever reason, because goals are different than thoughts, or goals are different than actions. Inspiration is different than the expectation you're going to do it. Starting is different than finishing, whatever thing you want to do. And they run into a number of things. One is the amount of manpower you need to pull off a man camp. You know, you don't,
right.
If you just want to have guys, and I say just, it's not just, it's awesome in and of itself. If you want to take dudes out in the woods and camp and have some discussion on the firewood, anyone can do that at any time, and that would be awesome. Good, period. But when you start saying, and we want to have games, and we want to have kick-ass worship, and we want to have great teaching, and we want to have people who are really skilled in prophetic prayer, and we want to have some beer there, and we want to have devotional thing, and we want to have solitude, and we want to have stupid humor, and you start putting all that stuff together and starts to take off. That's a lot of manpower, you know? And then the thing that I find is really, really difficult is the reason why man camp works, and this is much of our spiritual life that we don't recognize. It's maybe the most underreported spiritual practice that's been around forever that people don't understand, and that is collisions, when things collide. When two things shouldn't be together and they collide, that's when spiritual impact happens. Like God is one, God is triune.
Right.
That's a collision. Wait, God is spirit, but then God takes on flesh and Jesus. Wait, it's faith and it's works. I'm not saying it works get you to heaven, but like there's that interplay, that dynamic is there. And man camp is a bunch of collisions that shouldn't go together, but because they go together,
it's
like, 100 some kegs of beer right beside the charismatic, freaky prayer tent.
Right.
Worship alongside someone modeling and pulling down their pants how to poop on the stage. That's me with my underwear. that shouldn't go. A call to, turn away from your addictions.
Yeah.
And people have bourbon around the fire. A call to be on your own, solitude, by yourself.
Right.
By yourself. Unplug. Go in the woods. By yourself. And 3,000 dudes sing at the top of their lungs. And most of the time, people are skittish with one of those things. I'm skittish with the beers.
Right.
I'm skittish with the freaky prayer, prophetic prayer stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm skittish with, whatever. And that's where the power is.
That's why I love Man Camp so much, is because when I went there, I experienced everyone meeting me where I was at.
Hmm.
Didn't matter, my current beliefs, what I'm into, if I like beer, if I don't like beer, like it didn't matter.
Right.
And it was just, in, because I love being outdoors. I was met in my element, which that's where most guys are. And that's the best part about it.
And at the end of the first year, Matt got baptized.
Oh, yeah, Matt, come on.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Great.
Yeah.
Was there a click that happened around the campfire for you? Was there a defining spiritual moment for you that first one? You said, okay, that's it. I got to take the plunge.
Yeah. I had been baptized when I was younger. And then it was just kind of I hadn't been in a relationship with it, kind of fell out of the relationship with Jesus over several years. And then I was just really experiencing the conversation around the fire and then being able to be pushed into the mash tent and just kind of let it all out, stuff mm-hmm. that's inside, kind of, you know, spill all the guts out, water leaking from the face and all that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so just after that, it was, you know, there was some relief there. And I said, you know, it's time to do this thing and turn my life around.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
Was your people in the prayer tent, Matt, were the, was there anything that they were insightful on, or was just their presence as a spiritually mature guy that was preying on you, or what made that, you think God used that?
Yeah, for sure. Both of them were very spiritually mature, obviously, but I think the biggest part was it was another man that was actually listening to my problems and stuff mm-hmm. that I was going through. Mm-hmm. And not even offering a solution, but just walking me through some steps and kind of what, you know, my life would look like if, you know, I had accepted Jesus again and just taken that next step with him. So it was really just the listening part, because too many guys just keep everything inside, you know, and just, you know, I'll figure it out my own way. Yeah. But, you know, when I met Rory back in 2021, and I, you know, we started to have our conversations, I was like, okay, you know, this is a real friendship. This is what a real brotherhood, you know, how a real brother is supposed to treat you. And just kind of from that moment on and getting, you know, comfortable in a space where I was able to, you know, work through some stuff. And I think most guys are, you know, don't have that space to meet them where they're at. Which is kind of what I was talking about earlier, but that's really important.
Yeah, it is. And what did you guys have the vision for the Dangerous Man podcast? Tell us about that.
That was,
and what is a dangerous man? What is a dangerous man?
What I would say is, a dangerous man is a man who is willing to be, disciplined in the physical. He's willing to be disciplined in the spiritual. He's willing to be disciplined over protection and providing for and caring for his family. And it's a man who gives up all his regard and serves his king. I would just say that probably in the most plainest words I could.
Yeah. You know, we had Wild at Heart, John Eldridge, and just kind of how he describes, you know, being dangerous and, you know, wild at heart, and kind of comes from, you know, the whole Jordan Peterson thing of being a dangerous man. Good. Yeah, being dangerous for good. No. And Jordan, a little bit of a twist. You know, people don't really understand it at first.
That, and it was the best right. name, because we had a list and the rest of them sucked. So,
but it kind of gives the, you know, the dangerous man, and then people kind of do the head tilt. And they're like, I don't really understand it. So it gives a good, unique perspective where we can fill some people in on, you know, where our mind's at and what a dangerous man is.
Well, John Eldridge was way before Jordan Peterson. John Eldridge is the granddaddy of unique teachings and ministry to men, really. At least granddaddy of who's living. Maybe before him, and he's got some really unique content around that, and some really good stuff. We've had him on the mm-hmm. podcast before.
Yeah.
So your Dangerous Man podcast, when did you decide to get into that?
Yeah. So we were coming out of year one at Man Camp, and just the experience again was just, it was very powerful. It was very moving. And it was like, okay, well, like, I don't want this to be a secret. I don't want this to become something that like we just enjoy ourselves. Like, no, no, no. This needs to be shared with everyone. And so we were on a plane ride back home the first year. Every other year after that, we drove. But the first year we did fly. We cheated. Yeah. But we were on the plane ride back home and just thinking about the experience, the weekend, everything. And we start talking and he says, man, like we really need to like find a way to like start getting guys together. We need to find ways to start bringing our men together and kind of having these, you know, these campfire times and having these connection times, which we were doing before, just not really with a lot of intention.
Yes.
We were just leaving the time kind of wide open and all that stuff. And, but now, I think coming out of that plane ride, Matt was like, we should start doing something like a podcast or something. And I'm like, I'll do it. Let's do it. Let's go. Let's do it.
But then I got voluntold, Brian, right? Because I said, you know, Rory, you should do a podcast. And I got voluntold, you know.
I said I wouldn't do it. I said I wouldn't do it unless he did. And he is deathly afraid of being recorded or having a microphone in front of him.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely hate it.
But you both have such good voices. I'm going, man, I wish I had either one of your voices.
He's sweating profusely right now. Yeah. Guaranteed.
Yeah. I'll show you after.
He's gotten over it. Over the years, he's definitely gotten over it. But he was like, he was petrified. He's like, why would I want to talk? I'm like, people need to hear you. They need to hear your voice. They need to hear what you're talking with. Because it's not like some sensational celebrity or something like that. It's just, hey, these are real men talking about real problems, talking about the real issues that men are dealing with. And we're providing every single episode. We provide like training tips. We say this all the time, Brian. We got a mantra. You need to stop trying and you need to start training. That's a big thing with our show. Mm-hmm. And that's the same with your spiritual life, your physical life, your mental life, all of that stuff. So many guys I know die on the hill of trying. Training is the thing that erases all of that. And it develops you to a point where you can now be consistent and actually produce results and actually achieve and become the man that God initially and originally designed you to be. So, yeah, it came out of that plane ride. We were talking crazy. All the people on the plane were looking at us because we were yelling. Because we're from New England, we don't know how to be quiet.
We're like two little 10-year-olds just getting so excited. Like, I can't wait to do that. Like, let's start it. Let's get episodes going. It was really cool experience because you come out of, you know, man camp and you're away from your phone, right? You don't have your phone. Yep. Any outside contact, that's the best part. And, you know, you start to feel grounded again. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of come into the real world again, you know, reality. And you start hearing all the noise and the buzz and everything. And it was cool on the plane because we didn't care. We just like let the outside noise and we were just focused on us and what, you know, we wanted to do and we wanted to accomplish.
What's an easy entry, the best episode you'd start somebody with if they're going to do the Dangerous Man? Like, what one? Find the one where we talk blank. Find the title this. I'm making it easier for someone to listen. Like, what's a winner from to start with?
I think my favorite would probably be just easy way to start with the Dangerous Man Code.
Dangerous Man Code.
Code. Yeah.
All right. That's let's
title the episode.
Let's unpack more of the trying training because I really love that. Of course, the illustration, if you're not familiar with it, is no one tries real hard to complete a triathlon or a marathon.
Yeah.
You only complete it if you're training for it.
Mm. Right.
So what does that mean as far as the other things that we're doing? What are some training mechanisms someone would do if they want to have rich, full friendships? What are some training mechanisms someone would do if they want to have a vibrant communication life with God? What's some training mechanisms they would do if they want to have an intimate relationship with a woman? Those kind of things. Yeah. What take us along?
Let's start with the brotherhood one.
Yeah.
Let's start with that one. I think step one, come camp with us at man camp. Step two. Step two, I would say is like, just go find some. It is not hard to make a connection man to man. Find something he likes that he does or something you do. It's really easy. Hey, you want to go? Hey, I got this broken lawnmower. You want to help me fix it? Like guys, I think are so nervous about making like adult friends. I don't know why we do that, but I think it's, it's an easy step to avoid. Just put yourself out there and just say, hey, man, you want to go grab a beer? You don't even have to know the guy. Like, literally, guys can make friends on the spot. We're actually really good at it. We just don't do it. So I think brotherhood, you know, the easiest tactical step that I would say is just make a connection with one guy. Give yourself a couple of days, ask a couple of guys, and then lock it in and just go do something.
And that's as much of training because you're doing something as it is putting on your gym shoes the first time and taking a few steps to take a mile run.
Yeah.
You're just training. You're not just trying, attempting it. There's a thing I've got to do here. That's a training. Yeah.
So that's a big thing with us too, because like I like a lot of podcasts. I listen to The Aggressive Life. I listen to a bunch of different podcasts, and one of the commonalities that I noticed, like, man, you missed an opportunity there. Not on your show because you do it a lot, but some of the other shows I listen to is like you missed an opportunity to give them something to do. Like, men, we want something to do. Like, put us to work. If you don't want to get to work, well, I really question if you're a man or not, but you need to be wanting to work. Guys, we want to build something, and that starts with ourselves too. Mm-hmm. We're building ourselves, and so when you're building brotherhood, you're taking those steps. Like, we're constantly putting that out there for people. Here's simple, easy steps. Easy steps that you can do to build brotherhood. Simple, easy steps you can do to train and develop your spiritual life. Simple, easy steps you can do to mentally toughen up your little softness that you got and you can't. And I'm not talking like just to be a brood either. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, you know, knowing that when a storm rages in your life, you know who's got you. When divorce heads your way and you're staring down the barrel of it, do you have brothers that'll hold you up when you can't hold yourself up? Like, there's so many things that guys are trying to fight alone. And literally one of the major things, you know this, is brotherhood changes all of that. It changes it.
Yes.
Because you have connections. And I'll just stress this one. Make sure they're guys that can speak life into you. Make sure they're guys that are, you know, they don't have to believe every single thing you believe. Like, that's, we can agree to disagree on things, but make sure there are guys that are for you, guys that are encouraging you. Those guys are out there. They're all over the place.
Okay, what's another area where training plays out in a concrete way?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's the whole trying part of it. Cause I think a lot of guys know what they need to do. It's just, they're not, putting in the time and the effort, or putting it at the forefront. It's really just a priority shift of, you know, this is most important. So use your, you know, marriage as example. Like, I need, you know, I want a better marriage. That's what, you know, most guys say.
And then they sit on their duff and they don't do anything about
it. Yes. Then they come home, they throw on the TV. They say, what's for dinner? And then they say, okay, good night, I love you. And then it's just on repeat.
Yep.
So it's just just intentional time with what you're doing and reshifting your priorities in order to say, you know what, I'm done trying that way because it was priority number 7. Let's move it up to number 1 or 2 and let's start training this thing.
And that's a huge thing that happens at camp too, at man camp, is it's the experience takes the lenses off of you. And it allows you to look at yourself in a way where you're like if you're paying attention and you're engaged, you're going to be able to look at yourself in a way where you're going to go, man, I got some stuff to do. I have some stuff to work on in me. And the cool thing is man camp provides an avenue where you can go to work on yourself when it's, you know, whether that's spiritually or physically, if you want to push yourself through the obstacle courses, you know, or you want to walk, you know, 42 miles back and forth through nothing but mud, like whatever you want to do, like it provides those avenues. And then spiritually, it provides an avenue where you can start your training, right? You can start your training. And like Matt was saying earlier, like we run October to October now, just because it's almost like I come out of man camp and it's all right, this is marching orders. I've done some work physically. I've done some work brotherhood-wise. I've done work spiritually. And now I'm coming out of here with a game plan, or at least the first parts of it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's such an equipping tool to be able to kind of just send you out to do whatever it is that God has put on your heart, whatever God's placed on you, whatever is burning in your heart, or maybe it's not burning in your heart, maybe it's burning in your gut, who knows, but it's a send-off, and it's such a good moment.
Yeah.
Because you're disconnected and you're strengthened, but you're connected to brothers, to other men to be able to sharpen.
I think part of why an experience like Man Camp can be so transformational is you can't afford the energy to present the preferred version of you. You know, all of us as men, all day long, every day, there's a certain amount of energy we expend. What clothes am I going to wear today? What am I going to say? What am I putting in that email today? How should I respond in this interview or in this presentation? Or what do they think of me? How do I manage my thing? We're managing expectations. And part of that you have to do, right? But we're managing our image and managing everything. And when you come into Man Camp, or a thing like Man Camp, you're already spending so much energy on the hiking in, getting your gear set up, walking to the thing, getting the food, doing the games, that you can't afford the energy of, and you don't, it just doesn't naturally even happen, of how am I being perceived right now? How are people seeing me? You know, because everyone's dirty. Everyone's in the same clothes. Everyone looks the same. You don't know who's a CEO and who's on welfare right now. You don't know any of that. And therefore, you're not playing any games, the same old bullshit that you do happen in your normal day-to-day life. And I think that's where spiritual transformation can happen.
And it unmasks you. It's exactly what you're saying. It unmasks you. And you really, I remember our first year. I remember every year after that. You don't want to. You get there and somebody else already has their mask off and they're already dumping it on the table and you're like, oh, we're going here? Yeah, we're going here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there always is one sacrificial lamb that goes for
you. So far
you're going, oh, you're meh, meh. You're just, and one guy's normally getting turned on. Oh, a lamb.
Hey, boy, you got a bird of mouth. the trash talking at Man Camp is the best. It's level, and it's so fun.
There is what? No, there's there's one person who lays it down and opens up and everyone's going, I say sacrificial lamb as in they get slaughtered, but no, they're the first one that makes the bold move. And as you said, Rory, it's he said it. I guess I can say my thing and magic happens. It's
every
a beautiful thing.
Every year around the campfires, you watch the dominoes fall every year. And that first guy goes and then it's just.
Yeah. And that was the best part about our first year was our leader, Matt. And the vulnerability that he had on the first campfire session, because that's what sets the tone, is the leader of the camp. And by opening up and saying, hey, this is what I went through. And then you just, like Rory said, dominoes just start falling and you see God show up.
Let's do a little brief lightning round for everybody, because you guys are now gurus coming from wherever. Real quick, real simple.
All right.
Thing you're looking most forward to at Man Camp this year?
I got to get down the water slide. I didn't do it last year. We didn't do it. Did we do it last year?
You didn't need it. Everyone was wet all the time. Why go in the water when you're already wet?
I still did.
You did?
Yo. Yeah. On a boogie board.
All right. All right. That's a good one. Essential gear that you have to pack.
Definitely extra clothes and make sure they're dry, but not too much, because you don't want, because I end up going 50 pounds every year. So it's got to be under 40 at least.
50 pounds?
Yeah,
is that meat and meat?
He's a big man.
Right.
No, ask my wife. I have problems packing for 2-day vacations. I'll pack for a week. Ridiculous.
Are you guys doing the whole guys have really had the hack of bringing the big old landscaping wagons. You guys doing that?
No, we thought about a couple guys bringing the Taj Mahal, like the big tents and everything, but but you'll see, we'll put our flags out. You'll see our flag, our Dangerous Man flags.
I love it.
Essential gear, foot gear.
Yeah.
And that would be defined as what?
I would say not not necessarily a hiking boot, but like an in-between.
Yeah, and make sure you're warm.
What do they call those stupid things? Not cross trainers. What are we talking?
Crocs.
Those would have worked great last year.
Yeah, that would have been. Yeah. What about dirt? Dirt wears the same thing every year with his freaking dirty, disgusting feet. What are you wearing, man? Camp Dirt.
Chacos every year. Chacos sponsor me. Give me some new Chacos.
Are they too seriously?
No, I'm just asking them to. Come on, Chacos.
Dirt. If you get the first legitimate sponsor
of Chacos,
I'm gonna be really, really upset. Unless the sponsor is like Dove soap or something like that. That makes sense.
I could use some Dove soap.
If you get the first legitimate sponsor ship, that'd be really bothersome to me. But I'd be happy for you because you make less money than me, so you deserve that.
So I can take some.
And I'm committed to always make more money than you, by the way. as long as you work for me.
Yeah. That's good. I would say one more thing, a small thing of whiskey if the beer runs out, because you never know.
Did beer run out last year?
I don't know. It's just a lot of people want it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I find interesting is there's always a line at the beer trailer at the beginning, but then the line is at the prayer tent at the end.
At the end,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And there's no line at the beer trailer. It becomes not that big of a deal. That's always an interesting observation for me. So, anything you guys want to talk about that we haven't talked about?
How about the mash tent? For those of you guys who have, or you're listening to this podcast, you had never been, I'd really challenge you to go. But if that's something that like kind of, because we had some guys that we took last year and they were kind of like, what do you mean the prayer tent? What are you talking about? What is that? Like you just walk in there and prayers are everywhere. We're like, no. Like, and so we kind of didn't unpack it for our guys a little bit intentionally. Cause we're like, listen, it's just a time where you go in, you talk to a couple guys and they're going to pray for you. So we gave them the simplest version ever. On purpose, because it's probably one of the most powerful and profound things that I think is what makes Man Camp so unique. All the other stuff that you guys do, absolutely incredible, right? But that prayer tent is a place where I think I've seen more men freed from things that they never thought possible to be broken from. I've seen them walk out of that tent broken from it and never turn back. Mm-hmm. And that it's God. Oh, it's only Jesus. And it's something that is just, it's so unique. And don't, if you're like, what is this? It's weird. It's hocus pocus. No, guys, trust me. It is not. It is you interacting with your creator in such a way. And you're having brothers that are taking the time to listen to you, to hear your heart, and to stand with you in your wounds and help you move into healing. That doesn't happen in most men's life.
I know people who have been to Man Camp 2-3 times and have never gone to the mash tent. Never gone. Right.
Wow.
And
fear?
Yes, it is. Mm. It is fear. It is. Why else would it be? You have the time. We talk about it a lot. It's not like you don't know it.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's fear. I don't know what it is that's going on for them. Well, a couple of guys I'm talking about, I know fairly darn well for a long period of time. Mm. But my thing I say is, man, do the thing. My gosh, you got off the grid. You're doing stuff that you've never done before. When I go outside of my normal sphere of geography, I want to do the thing. You know, like if I go to if I go to a country, I went to Germany a couple times, and there was a site where Martin Luther King got renamed after Martin Luther, who was the lead of the Protestant Reformation. Mm-hmm. Actually, Martin Luther King Jr.'s father, when he found out the story about Martin Luther, he came home and changed his name and named his son Martin Luther King Jr. because he was so inspired by it. Well, there's a stone that he laid on and just kind of put his arms out as a sign of I am in. He was very, very zealous. Yeah. And I said, that's a stone? I'm going to do that. And so I'm there are me. I'm the only one or our group lying on his face on a stone in a public place. I'm like, That's the thing that happened here. That was a big deal.
So absolute full send.
I'm saying, hey man, if you're in a man camp experience, like do the thing. Go to the main sessions. Don't just sit down and listen to it because the loudspeakers are loud enough you can hang out by your campfire. If there's a prayer, just go do the thing. Mm. I think there is fear, and I just encourage people, like, they're there. Just push yourself. Allow it to happen.
Yeah, we definitely push our guys. I mean, not to the scent of, like, forcing, but we'll go right up to the line. We'll go right up to the line. We'll be like, because we have guys that kind of leg back. I don't really want to do it. Like, it kind of, you know, it's weirding me out. Yeah, all right, cool. Yeah. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about it. Most of those guys, though, I mean, obviously, we're coming 14 hours away. Like, if you waste this weekend, I promise them, probably won't invite you back next year.
You waste a lot of time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you look at it, right? You're out in the middle of America, no cell phones, no service, whatever, with other dudes. What's the worst that's going to happen? No one's going to find out.
Right. Nobody's going to know.
That was my whole thing when I first went in. I was like, hey, I got nothing to lose. Let's just go for it.
Yeah.
So let's have a couple advertisements here. One is if you use the code PODCAST15, we'll get you 15% off of Mad Camp. Go mancamp.us and do PODCAST15. That's a little code for you. So throwing you something right there. And guys, if someone wants to follow up with you, where do they go? Where do they find Dangerous Man Podcast? Or give yourselves an advertisement here.
Yeah, you can go to dangerousmanpodcast.com and find our website. It has links to all of our shows. You can get us on Spotify, Apple, and any other podcast app that you listen to your shows on. But easiest way is website and then all your socials and all that stuff that we'll link in the show notes.
So there you go. Mancamp.us. We would love to have you. We'd love to have you with me, with Rory and Matt and Bear Grylls and Dante Bowe. And got another good surprise. Probably ought to start talking about my good buddy Jim Bergen from Flatirons Church in Colorado. You guys know Jim or of him? Yeah. Good dude. He's going to be with us and a lot of other good surprises. Hey, it's called The Aggressive Life because we want you to do something, not just think something, not just feel something, but actually do something. This is a great way for you to train in your life, to put yourself in a boot camp environment, to put yourself under somebody's personal training, to put yourself in a scenario where someone has planned a growth track for you in your life. I promise you, if you come to Mancamp, I can't promise you you're going to leave a better, different, better version of yourself, but I can't promise you this. I can't promise you you have a higher likelihood of that happening at Mancamp that weekend than any place else on God's green earth. The greatest immersion experience that exists for you that weekend is in Felicity, Ohio, and it has a greater shot of getting you to God than I think anything else that you could expose yourself to all weekend long anywhere else on God's green earth. And there's a lot of people who are going to meet God someplace else other than God's green earth. But if you want to choose to opt into something, I think this is your best shot to have a true taste of God and to see how he turbocharges you and just brings you into a loving, abiding, powerful, strong, dangerous relationship with him. Any last thoughts from you guys?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Let's freaking go. LFG.
Guys, if you're even on the fence, this is the last thing I'll say. If you're on the fence, remember, you're a man. If you're on a fence, that means your nuts are on the fence. You're wrapping yourself. Knock it off. Get off the fence. Get signed up and do something with your life. Come on.
I'm glad you said do something with your nuts. I thought you were going to say
no.
That's the best. I've never thought about being on the fence.
If you're on the fence, you're racking yourself.
Yeah, right. It's not just that you haven't figured out what territory you want to be on, but it's very uncomfortable being there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we'll see you next time on The Aggressive Life.
Thank you,
thanks,
guys.
Brian.
Thanks for joining us on this journey toward aggressive living. Find more resources, articles, past episodes, and more at briantome.com. my new book, a 60-day devotional called The 5 Marks for Man, 60 Days to a Powerful Life, along with all the other books in the 5 Marks library, are open right now on Amazon. Be sure to leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Then send an email to dirt, that's dirt, at briantome.com to get a free Aggressive Life sticker. Find more on Instagram at briantome. The Aggressive Life is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.